Welcome, all of you lovely, lovely people who have made the mistake of opening up this podcast on Spotify.
Quick, hey, it's not too late. It's not too late.
Yeah, you can exit out anytime.
I'm sure Serial needs an extra listener or two.
Unless you downloaded it for your work commute, then it's done. You are ours now.
Yeah.
But guys, I had a bad thought the other night.
Well, that's fun.
I have too many of those as is. Sure, let's put another one on the shelf.
My fun little ADD brain went down a dark, dark rabbit hole that I want to share with you because, frankly, I think there's money to be made in this idea here.
No, I'm not doing an OnlyFans.
Shut up.
Yet.
It's just us looking disappointedly at you.
People. Just hands on hips, head tilted sideways, frown on the face.
So you guys are familiar with war reenactors, right? Like people who will like reenact like famous battles.
I don't know where I thought you were going to go with this, but the train took such a hard right that I'm not sure if there's any coming back.
Just hold on.
It feels like I am on the train in which like the protagonist of the movie is like trying to save us from it crashing. And so he like switches the lanes really quickly and we're like tilting on the side.
Now this is pod racing. No, but yeah, you guys are familiar with that, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
People who have way too much time on their hands.
Yeah, virgins.
So you guys are also familiar with LARPing, which basically is the same thing, just fantasy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I say we take it a step further. And we combine them and add a new element into it. And I don't think we're super far off in this day and age. We add a little bit more of a nerd element. And I think...
Real guns.
Real guns. I think that's just called war. I think we do that already every day.
I think we're going to be thinning the herd.
LARPers got to go. No. I think we can do something with... reenacting Marvel movies, like big battles in Marvel movies. Now, legally, if we reenact Civil War, it is a Civil War reenactment. That stays no matter
what. That's coming. That's
coming. Thanos said it's about states' rights.
And then the reenactors turn towards the audience and shoot one out of every two people.
I just picture these like edgelords like, no, I get to play Captain America. No, I get to play Iron Man. And just like,
I will put money on the guess that this probably happens at Comic-Con every single year.
Yeah.
And these people are continually being thrown out of the building for destruction of property.
So Colton, you know that I would not be doing this podcast with you if I did not consider you a friend. And
this is your intervention, buddy.
You spent too much time thinking how you would do it instead of thinking, why should I say this? Here's what I'm imagining. So Civil War reenactors most of the time are like old men who need something to do on the weekends because their wife left them. LARPers, on the opposite end of the spectrum, young adults who did not have a wife to begin with, and so they... I feel like I'm being very mean to them. That's what I'm saying, though.
I think this is the common ground, because...
The common ground is the military-industrial complex.
There was a time of my life where... when I was in quarantine, I didn't have great Wi-Fi, so I was just watching like normal television, like with commercials.
Ugh.
And guys, I literally thought about making a like series of, is this a Join the Army commercial or is it a video game trailer? Because like they are indistinguishable at times. I'm literally like, what game? Oh, this is
the U.S. Navy. Real. Oh, dang it.
This is a real thing.
This is live action Call of Duty.
The graphics are amazing.
Oh my god, is this 8K?
Oh my
god. No, it's AK 47.
This is a movie podcast, in case you haven't.
Yeah. So,
or is it a war? Is it a Join the Army commercial?
Contrary to popular belief, this is not an advertisement for the U.S. Navy. Dun 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 dun.
Hey brother, you want to join the army? We'll get you a Camaro.
You look like you have minimal prospects ahead. not a Navy ad. This is a movie podcast for movie lovers where we watch the first and last scenes of a movie And then we completely make up what happens in between. My name is Brady King.
I'm First Lieutenant Derek Fultz.
I'm dishonorably discharged Colton Hart.
And my name is Tyler.
Okay, go around the table. What would we be dishonorably discharged for? Mine is being too fat.
Did y'all have to take the ASVAB thing where it was like the military, like...
Colton, this is a PG podcast.
My mom told me that'll make you go blind.
It was like this like aptitude test for the military.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a big joke, but I took it in high school because they made all of us take it. And one of the guys like called me. He's like, hey, we'd love to pay for your college. And I was like, I have flat feet, asthma, and like all sorts of other things. You do not want me.
I am a hindrance.
I will bring this country down on accident.
I'm a hindrance to democracy. You don't want
I'm a threat to this institution, please, sir. I'm begging you. You do not know what you're asking for.
I have no ill intentions. It's just what might happen.
Today we're making up the plot of pretty much anything but a war-related movie. It's Palm Springs. I don't even know how to segue from this one. It's Palm Springs. Has anybody seen this movie?
I have.
I've almost started it like several times, which doesn't mean anything, but...
What's keeping you?
Coward.
What are you afraid of? What are you scared of?
Let's not go down that hole.
No balls.
So Palm Springs was a 2020 rom-com, came out last year. I don't want to say under the radar because I don't even know that there was a radar in 2020, but it's quite an enjoyable movie. I'm not going to lie. I have seen this, by the way.
Yeah, it flew under the radar for me until, so I had a bunch of people that were telling me to watch it because they knew I would like it. And I was like, okay, I will. But then I was like, how about I watch 6 seasons of Schitt's Creek instead?
Instead, yes, sir.
And then I finally watched it about like a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they were right. I enjoyed it. So, I mean,
yeah.
You know, they know me. I'm pretty easy to read. I'm like a children's book.
If you took like a dartboard and you put like things that would interest me in a movie, you could throw 3 darts and like, time travel, Andy Samberg. Like, you could get this outcome, like, fairly easily, I feel like.
Yeah,
so I'm definitely, yeah. I'll probably watch it soon.
It's an enjoyable movie. So we're going to have to forget all that. And what we're going to do is we're going to watch the first scene of Palm Springs and the last scene of Palm Springs. And we're going to try and figure out what happens, how we get from point A to point B. Since we're not allowed to play movie audio on the podcast, we have converted the scenes into screenplay format. Colton is going to narrate for us. And then Derek and I are going to play a couple different characters. This opening scene is going to be short and sweet. it's pretty to the point.
And we'll explain why later.
In the After Dark episode, we'll explain why. Well, Colton, are you ready to get started?
All right. We ready?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Take it away.
We open on a picturesque view of sunny California desert. The mountains cast long shadows over the rocky terrain, where a small goat grazes peacefully. Suddenly, the ground begins to shake. The trees rock back and forth as the earth begins to split open, revealing a bright orange glow.
Wake up!
We cut to the eyes of Niles. He squints in the early morning sun and glances around the room. His girlfriend, Misty, is moisturizing her leg at the end of the bed.
Good morning.
That's a good leg.
Misty rolls her eyes.
Okay, fine, but we have to be quick.
That's it.
Brady, what did I read?
That's the scene.
So, normally, just a little insider baseball for the people that listen. Normally, these like first scenes are like a couple of pages long. This one is truly half a page.
This one's
like
a third of a page, if that.
And it is because in the movie, at that point, Niles and Misty engage in a very intense sexual intercourse scene.
And As much as I love you, Derek, I'm not going to repeat Andy Samberg's lines.
I mean, all I'm hearing is excuses. I'm hearing non-committal.
No.
You're not committed to the bit, and I think you're no-butting me, and that's actually kind of gross if we're going to talk about improv rules.
Take me to comedy jail. This one's worth it. Whatever time
you're... I will serve my sentence.
Okay, so... Where are we going to go from here? What do we think happens?
Misty is a chicken.
She's a reincarnating chicken that he can just eat forever.
Right. That's why he says that's a good leg. He's like, drumsticks.
Drumstick.
So all we've got so far is that we open up on like the earth breaking open.
Right.
And light shining through.
We think in like post-apocalyptic kind of thing, like... I know. I think that's a stir the plot trope at this point.
Yeah, I was about to say, we always get post-apocalyptic. Wait. It's California. It's got to be gold. There's gold in them hills.
There's so much gold in them hills.
Cracking the earth.
Okay.
So maybe this is almost a Western. You know what I mean? Because we've got a couple who've headed out west to stake their claim.
Do we want to do Western or do we want to do period piece?
Oh, we can do period piece. Yeah, Western carries too much baggage.
Yeah, period piece, it's like we can have some Western elements in it, but it doesn't have to be constrained to the plot structure of a Western.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, we obviously wake up on Misty and Niles.
Right.
They moved out west to go seek gold.
Right.
And then their hills.
And we're going to say this is around like the 1800s period, which is why Niles is complimenting her leg, because nobody else has good legs because they all have syphilis. And
well, they weren't allowed to show their legs.
Oh, right. That's true.
Not at this time period.
Like what we don't know is that Niles and Misty have shirked the Puritan beliefs of the old country.
Gotcha. Left their Puritan upbringing behind and headed out west.
Meaning like New England. So I think they moved out west to go seek gold and seek fortune. We're going full like Oscar bait period piece.
Oh, so you're thinking almost like There Will Be Blood.
A little bit.
Okay.
What if what if Niles was like the son of a preacher?
Gotcha.
His destiny essentially is to continue on the family business of, you know, of pastoral ministry.
but he's been tempted by the golden demon of the
piss.
He's
piss. Did you say piss?
I did say piss.
Which is why they were so excited to get him out of the Puritan village.
We can't do this.
I am a piss warrior. She's Andy. Not a Christian.
Oh,
Andy, for the last time, keep your pants on. I'm not going to tell you again.
Okay, so he's fallen in love with money, and he's like on the search for money.
Uh-huh. Right?
Do they run away together, or do they like meet up halfway through?
Yeah, what I'm thinking is Niles and Misty have been like secret star-crossed Romeo and Juliet lovers,
right?
And his dad won't let them be together because she is the daughter of an outlaw.
An outlaw.
In New
England. A train robber.
Yeah.
A New England train robber.
That everyone knows.
His name is Thomas Jebediah Brady.
It's quite original.
She's the daughter of Thomas Jebediah Brady, the most famous train robber this side of the Mississippi.
Rumor has it that he deflates the tires of whatever he's about to steal before he steals it. He's been married 9 times. He's got 9 rings.
You will not be caught with them ne'er-do-wells. You will become a pastor, just like your pappy and your grandpappy before him.
So I think they go out west. They go to California. And it's a long, treacherous journey to California.
Of course. We're talking Oregon Trail, you know? They start out with a party of 30, but they all die of dysentery.
The what trail?
The Oregano Trail.
The Origami Trail.
The Origami Trail.
The Porygon 2 Trail.
There we go.
I think like before they leave, they get a blessing from outlaw Brady. Mm-hmm. So he lassos them a train and they ride it into the sunset all the way to California. Yeah.
Niall says, "Say no more."
Yes, that's his vice. He's always trying to prove himself to somebody. That's his fundamental flaw. Is, you know, he's always got something to prove.
Right. He wants so badly to be an independent man who he wants to be like a self-made man. And he feels like if he were to continue on with the family legacy of preaching, that's not really what he wants to do. It's something that he feels like everyone else wants him to do.
Well, and he wants to shake off the degrading title that's been bestowed on him.
Right.
He's got to get out of there.
It's just the kids being mean. It's nothing he did. It just...
Well, obviously, they did.
Hey, piss boy. Here comes piss boy.
Hide your purses. It's the piss goblin. And it's nothing that he can do. It's just they didn't bathe back then.
Oh, that's true.
And if they did, it was those big bathtubs inside of saloons.
Right. They got to do it
like
once
in Shanghai Noon.
Like in Shanghai. And they had to do it all at once. They had to get their horses, their cows, their dogs, their chickens, and wash them all at the same time, all at once.
And so,
or maybe I know what it was. He was going to carry on the family business. He was going to take the mantle because he wanted to do his father proud. So he got up there to deliver his first sermon, but he was so nervous that he pissed his pants. And so everybody calls him Piss Goblin now.
And he's done. Like, he has a fear of public speaking now that he's done.
Right. And so he like his dad grills him. He's like, "How dare you, son? Like, I thought you were going to be the one." And so he consults his girlfriend's dad, Mr. Outlaw Brady, who gives him a little nugget of advice, gold nugget, if you will, and sends him to California.
Right.
Yo, I think this is our longest, setup for the shortest, like, material we've had.
Hey,
like,
listen, give us an inch, we'll take a mile.
Yeah, anything past 45 seconds would have been a long setup for the amount of information we got.
Well, I guess there's only one way to figure out where Niles lands, and that's to read the next scene. Colton, would you do me the honor?
I will. Niles and Sarah, a sarcastic 30-something with dark brown hair, enter the mouth of an enormous cave. At the far end, a pulsing light bathes the stone walls in a bright orange glow.
So, was the whole goat disappearing thing for real?
It's too late. We've already committed.
Damn it. Where do you want to go on our first date when this for sure works out?
Your mom's house.
Okay, this was a mistake.
Your mom was a mistake.
All right.
The two approach the source of the orange light, a glowing sphere of energy.
In case I don't see you again, I love you too.
Sarah pulls Niles into a kiss and presses a button on a small handheld device. The world explodes into a wave of blinding light. We cut to a private pool, surrounded by sunny California mountains, where Sarah and Niles tan on colorful yellow floats.
So, now what do we do?
Well, I should probably go pick up my dog.
You have a dog?
Yeah, Fred.
You have a dog named Fred?
I do.
You've never mentioned this.
Never came up.
Where is he?
With the neighbor.
What kind of dog is he?
One of those shaggy dogs.
The two laugh, but a voice off camera cuts them off.
Hey! What the hell are you doing in our pool?
Sarah and Niles look at each other. Niles grins.
Guess I'll come back November 10th.
The two laugh as the camera pans up over the California desert. Well,
all right.
Well,
we've had to flex our comedy muscles a few times on this podcast here, but I might need to limber up a little bit before we
let me stretch.
We go into this one here.
Let me stretch.
All right.
Lordy.
Every Oscar bait period piece needs drama. And so we're obviously setting up a bit of relational tension here because Niles obviously ends up with Sarah. So Misty and he make the journey across the California desert, but we're already starting to see them kind of drifting apart because the money has got a hold of Niles. You know what I mean? Like he's caught that gold fever. So he's obsessed with it.
And while he's caught the gold fever, Misty caught an actual fever.
She catches yellow fever and dies.
She gets bit by a yellow spotted lizard.
Well, and whenever he gets to California, he meets Sarah, and as we all know, as the lovely Katy Perry says, California girls are undeniable.
Daisy Dukes, bikinis on
bikinis
top.
Bikinis on top?
So hot will melt your popsicle? Bro, like, you had no chance.
Well, popsicles haven't been invented yet, so.
It's just a wooden stick. It's just a
They didn't figure
out. Your kids are going to love it.
ice hadn't been invented yet. So they go across the Oregon Trail. Misty gets sick. They find Sarah halfway to California and bring her on to take care of Misty because Sarah is a nurse. But she's also making her way to California to find gold.
Right. Golden in real estate. She wants to be a real estate agent in Palm Springs.
Along the way, they meet a family called the Donners. And they're like, hey, wait, we can help you. No, we're fine. We'll make it.
We're good.
We'll be fine.
Well, Sarah has this dream, right? She wants to be a real estate tycoon, and she has this vision of this sort of tourist wonderland called Palm Springs.
Oh,
and she's got this idea in her head that she wants to make happen.
Yeah.
And so there are already two visionaries who are, what if we even get in like a bit of like a competitive.
Rivals turn lovers.
Yeah, there you go. Whereas Misty's just cough lying in a hospital bed sweating.
Everyone's favorite book trope, enemies turned lovers.
Yes.
Sarah is obviously still Misty's nurse, but also at the same time, she is competing with Misty's husband to try to get rich faster than him, but also she is competing with Misty in terms of Niles's love and affection. Right. So I think at a certain point, Niles goes to visit Misty because she is on her last leg, literally and figuratively speaking.
But it's a good leg.
Yeah. Well, it was her only good leg left, but it's also started to go bad.
Oh no!
This is an Oscar bait movie. It has to be traumatic for someone.
Someone's got to go.
Yeah, and they have a really like heartfelt scene where they kind of like divulge how they're feeling to each other, and Misty finally just says like, "It's okay. Like you can be with her."
Right, because from the vantage point of her hospital bed, she's. Well, not even her hospital bed. It's just kind of a cot
It's a tent.
It is the covered wagon they came in on.
It's not so much a hospital as it is just a little patch of straw.
What if at that point Niles is finally like, okay, so Niles has found a giant gold nugget underneath Palm Springs,
right?
Which is the glowing energy thing that we see.
Yeah.
So he's trying to dig it out. But if he does that, he's going to destroy Sarah's like land and her dream of creating Palm Springs.
Right. Because the perfect patch of land that she like wants to build her resort on is also holding all this gold.
Yeah. And so what he does is at the very, very end, he presses a button which explodes all the dynamite that like caves in the cave, and he gives up his dream of finding all the gold so that she can open Palm Springs. And what we get is at the very end, it's a flash forward where they're sitting in a pool, which is just like a mud pit, like lake thing.
It's a swamp.
And yeah, they're just like chilling on some random person's lawn, like in their property.
I hear you. I also want to raise this ending to you. They like Sarah and Niles both know that this is their one chance to make it big.
Right.
And they're digging at it. They're trying to get it out. They realize that the only way they can get it out is with dynamite.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they say something about the goat disappearing. They were going to use a goat to blow up the dynamite.
They were going to strap it to the
But they lost the goat.
Right. So it's like they sent a goat in with a lit match to light the fuse. And then the goat disappears. They don't know where it went. And so they know that they have to go in there and light it themselves.
Yeah. So they realize one person is going to it's going to have to be lit from the inside. And so they kind of go back and forth, like selflessly being like, no, I'm going to be the one to do it. I'm going to be the one to do it. And eventually they land on, we'll do it together. We'll blow ourselves up in the name of fame and fortune and go out with a bang.
Yeah, it was like, you know, he asked, like, so the whole goat disappearing thing was real, right? Basically, he's like, are you trying to trick me? Are you just trying to, like, you know, pull my leg or whatever? And so they light the fuse. They profess their love for each other. They start running out of they start trying to run out of the tunnel. The explosion happens. We cut to the resort, or, you know, them tanning in the pool. It's heaven. They both die. And they're in heaven.
Yes, I love that. Yeah. And apparently there's property ownership in heaven too, which is why.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the mansions.
Yeah. This dude's like, why the hell are you in my pool? Get out.
Yeah. Get out. And they both. And he's talking about his dog that died when he was a little kid. That's why his dog's out.
Yes. Yeah. And during the end credits, they're like, kind of, there's like some, like, you know, campy shots of them just like living out heaven, but towards the middle we see a little, like, and in the morning, and just like a little Nass goes down.
Oh, anyway,
that joke is, if you've been on TikTok in the past 10 days,
if you haven't been living under a rock.
So not exactly where I thought we were gonna go with this, but you know what,
it never is.
I'm happy with her.
I'm happy with this. I like it.
I think it's also our first foray into, like, hey, let's make an Oscar bait movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's be honest, guys. They're coming up quick. Do you think we can put this one out in time?
Do we think we can submit this one in?
I've got a Canon T3i over here. I've got some lights. We can make this happen.
I've got $200 in the bank account. I think we can budget this thing.
Yeah, sure. Derek, you've seen this movie.
Yeah.
What is Palm Springs actually about?
Yeah, a guy goes with his girlfriend to attend her friend's wedding, and through a series of, like, weird events, gets trapped inside of a time loop.
Mm-hmm.
And has spent the last, like, however many days, like, trying to get himself out of the time loop. He gets another character trapped in the time loop with him. Hilarity ensues. They try to get out of the time loop together. They fall in love. Yeah, it's like, it's a fun movie. It's Andy Samberg and
like, if The Lonely Island made a rom-com, like, that is literally what this movie is. Yeah, it's great. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it simply due to the fact that it is an original movie, and, like, it feels very, like, reminiscent of, like, you know, time loop movies like Groundhog Day and stuff like that. Like, which, I mean, it's like, you can't really escape that.
Yeah.
There's only so much you can do with, like, a time loop setting. But, I mean, I think they did a really good job with it. I really, really, really enjoyed it.
Well, let us know if you enjoyed the plot of this movie, and how you think it holds up to the actual Palm Springs. In the meantime, howdy! I'm Prospector Brady, and I'm looking for new segments.
Oh,
y'all
Lord.
Y'all got any segments around here for me?
Not for you, Prospector Brady.
Spare segments.
These are mine.
Spare segments for the poor.
Spare segments.
Spare segment for old Prospector Brady.
Alms for the podcast.
That's just our Patreon.
Alms for a miserable podcast.
Can we change our lowest tier to alms for the podcast?
That's great.
Oh, man. Well, Prospector Brady, I might have something that you'd be interested in. It's a little thing I like to call shaken, not stirred.
Finally, I can feed my children.
Welcome to Shaken, Not Stirred, the part of the podcast where we take a random movie genre and we pair it up with a random movie or TV show to create something new entirely, a whole new movie, a whole new TV show, and we figure out the plot of that said movie.
This horrible, horrible Frankenstein creation of ours.
Yeah, honestly.
It's an unholy abomination in God's eyes.
Yes. It's a piss goblin.
It is, like, most of these movies and TV shows that we create in this segment are scientifically categorized as piss goblins.
Oh, Lord. Okay, our first movie. Ooh, Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Oh, okay. Yes. I freaking love this movie.
Well, let's ruin it, Brady.
Well, let's drag my favorite movie through the mud.
As a mystery movie?
Oh.
That's it's like almost too on the nose, but in the right kind of way. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. A man named Walter Mitty goes missing, and a detective gets put on the case, and you come to find out that Walter has a little bit of a life that his family doesn't know about.
I was going to say, yeah.
He's a longboarding instructor in Iceland.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, what if it's like the Secret Life of Walter Mitty? Walter Mitty goes missing, and the detective, like, is investigating, and he's, like, asking his friends and family, and it comes out that this dude's just kind of like, oh, he's just like a, you know, oh, it's just Walter, old, boring, like, guy. And, he's actually lived this, like, incredible life.
Yeah.
Life.
But he's also a serial killer.
But he also kills people. Right. Yeah. He does go photograph volcanoes in Iceland, but he also throws people into them. So
That's his MO.
Yeah, he takes a picture everywhere he kills.
And he like sends a Polaroid to the police. And they're all beautiful. Mm. They're like majestic. Yeah, they're like picturesque.
Wonderful.
They're the wonderful. The
aspect ratio is phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, the exposure's correct. It's beautiful. Yeah. It's framed properly.
The detective finds in his wallet, like his location, like in his own wallet, he finds a picture of like a Polaroid.
Oh,
and it's like where he'll be at a certain time. And like you see him like across the street. And it does like, he does the like wave, and it does the stereotypical like bust goes over, and he's gone.
He's not there.
Yeah, he's not there. And then it's like roll credits.
Yeah, nice. I'm getting a very like Catch Me If You Can sort of vibe from this one. Great movie.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Well, that let's was get another one.
I think that's been our like most like true to the plot.
Yeah, that's the most like, on the nose Shaken Not Stirred we've done.
Okay, I'll get you guys another one. Let's see what we got. Birdman.
Okay.
Yes.
As an action movie, I mean,
Birdman joins the Avengers.
Yes, I've already seen Falcon and Winter Soldier.
What if we just tie this into the Marvel franchise and yeah, Falcon and Birdman go on.
Birdman is who Falcon is in the comics, and it's like, well, I guess you stole Falcon, so I guess I'll be Birdman.
Birdman is Falcon's apprentice, and it's still Michael Keaton.
Right. It's still old Michael Keaton. Not even.
We do have to figure out how he's also the Vulture in the Marvel universe, but
no, this is the backstory behind the Vulture. He's a prodigy of the Falcon who eventually grows up to be.
Oh, this is great. We're just rewriting Marvel canon here. Right. This is great.
Thank you for letting me do whatever I want with your precious, precious franchise, Disney.
Take that, Kevin Feige.
You, Brady, have done something that I didn't think that anyone could do, and that was impress me. I don't know a better person.
He's also a washed up theater instructor in his spare time.
So. Yeah. Yeah. He's the brother I never had, the father I've always wanted. No, I like that. I honestly think we can just leave it there. I think that is such a good idea.
Yeah. Really. There it is. It's the backstory behind the.
Leave that to the theater of the mind. Okay. Last one.
Woo!
Ever. We're done after this. Godzilla versus King Kong as... Oh my gosh, guys. No, I'm kidding. Podcaster's choice.
This is... You're going to hate me. This is a, like, a legal procedural in the lieu of Kramer versus Kramer.
Well, Godzilla and Kong both destroyed half of Tokyo, and so there's gonna be some legal proceedings.
So Godzilla and King Kong get in a fight, both suffer intense injuries. Godzilla takes King Kong to court.
He hits him where it hurts, his wallet.
His wallet. Right.
Can't buy bananas if you ain't got no money.
And then Kong says, you can't buy radiation if you don't have money.
And Kong goes, yes, I can. I just go over to America's waters. I just take a bath.
Go take a big sip out of Flint, Michigan.
Godzilla takes Kong to court. And right. It becomes this sort of like really nasty legal battle.
Drawn out legal procedural. Each of them have their own all-star team, all-star legal team, and there's all kinds of cameos. You know, like Mothra comes in and like has to give testimony. And
They bring Rodan in as a character witness.
Right.
And he basically just flip-flops in between the two. He can't decide which one is the worst one because he's, you know, spineless. And then... who is the last witness they bring in? It's Millie Bobby Brown.
Well, so my thinking is that Millie Bobby Brown is on Godzilla's side, but she is also Gen Z, and Gen Z do love the monkey.
Do love the monkey. Yeah. So
I think she has a moral decision where she can't decide.
She says, Am I lizard or am I monkey?
Am I monkey? And after all of it, the judge is like, well, I find you both guilty. And then it rips off his headdress and is revealed to be Mechagodzilla. Thank you.
And then, and then they both have to fight. Yep, there it is. Yeah. Love it.
Is that the plot of the actual movie? I think so, but I don't know.
I haven't seen it. We'll find out soon, I guess.
Yeah. All right. I think those were three solid...
Those were three songs. We had really good guys.
Those were some zingers.
So now is the time where we dive into Real Talk, where we give you some short suggestions of what we've been watching this week that we think you should also take a look at. I'll go ahead and go first. I have challenged myself before the Oscars to watch every Best Picture nominee, and I'm halfway there. out of the four that I have seen, I am going to give you the suggestion to go see The Father. It is Olivia Colman and Anthony Hopkins, and Olivia Colman plays Anthony Hopkins' daughter, and Anthony Hopkins is a man who is dealing with dementia. It sounds like it would be like a really depressingly sad movie because of, you know, the fact that it's dealing with a man with dementia, and it is sad, don't get me wrong. But it's also kind of like eerie and uncomfortable and kind of like scary at some point.
Just like unsettling.
Yeah, very unsettling, and it makes you puts you in the shoes of Anthony Hopkins. You're like, wait, what's real and what's not? Like, what is a hallucination? What is something that he's already seen? Like, what is something that's actually happening? Like, I would suggest going to see that. I still have four more movies that I need to see, so my suggestion might change, but you know, that's what we got right now.
In true millennial fashion, we fresh out of college graduates have a lot of cramming to do before the final. I still have to watch like six movies before the Oscars this April.
Guys, I have not watched one yet.
But here's the thing. It's like they're at the end of this month, so you still have like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm gonna steer out of Oscar territory and go back a few years and suggest the hidden Viggo Mortensen gem, Captain Fantastic. Have you guys seen this movie?
Oh, is this the one where he has a bunch of kids and they like live off the grid?
Yes. So they live off the grid. He and his wife raise them kind of like out in the middle of nowhere.
They have like seven kids, right?
Yes. And then his wife ends up committing suicide. And so the family kind of has to like not integrate back in the real world, but they kind of have to come to terms with like past family relations and like the toll that their isolation has like taken on the rest of the family. And it is a truly great movie. Like I really can't recommend this one enough. It is hilariously absurd in the fact that it just kind of points out flaws in our weird hyper-capitalistic society, but also kind of shows the dark side of what happens when you like isolate your children from, you know, the rest of the world.
I saw a TikTok like that. I think it was going through this movie, and it like really piqued my interest. And I was like, I think it's literally like saved in my likes of like, okay, let's watch this movie.
Yeah. It completely caught me off guard. I just saw like the thumbnail for it on Netflix, and I was like, sure, I'll give it a watch. Truly a fantastic film. It is so hilariously anti-establishment and in the best possible way. I really, really like this movie.
I've literally just been watching Yu-Gi-Oh! Still.
Okay.
What I will recommend is something that I watched before. Do you guys ever read the Alex Rider books?
Maximum Ride book? No.
This one is.
I know what you're talking about. He's like a spy.
Yeah. So he's like a child spy.
It's Agent Cody Banks, but like more mature.
No, but really.
Yeah, kind of though.
So they made a movie a little while back, and it wasn't very good. But then
shocking no one.
Yeah, honestly. Amazon Prime brought it back and it's really good. I was telling Brady this once. It's got some really cool like dialogue. Like it's teenagers, and so like but like the dialogue is like, I feel like a teenager would actually say that, and it not like, you know, like,
hey fam squad.
Yeah,
like, yes,
this grenade I'm about to throw is pretty bussin.
Yeah, so this is again a little behind the curtain. We all three of us have worked at the same summer camp for multiple years, so we've been exposed to teenage dialogue enough that like whenever I see crappy tween dialogue in movies,
yeah,
it's like so infuriating for me because I'm like, quit making them sound like young 30-year-olds.
If I were to write a teenager right now, it would either be the most realistic depiction of a teenager, or it would be like decried as a like farcical caricature of what a teenager actually is, because right. It is so on brand that they can't really realize that it's like on brand. Well, it's like I'm also a teacher, and so it's like I am engrossed in their territory.
Right.
So it's like.
It's just so funny to me when I'm like, you clearly have never been on TikTok or just had the bare minimum exposure to a like 16-year-old.
This is what your dad, this is what your 16-year-old son said they said just to make fun of you.
Like, yes.
But my other one, which is a little out of left field, is a podcast called Cultish.
Yes. Oh, it's a great podcast.
So it goes through different cults that have been around in America and also like just like the world. Okay. So it goes through like Manson, Jonestown, the Moonies, and things like that. It's just interesting in a sense of like they go through like the brainwashing process, and their most recent series as of like 2 weeks ago, I'm not sure how many parts they're doing on it, is about the Church of Wells, which is actually not too far from SFA, which is where me and Brady went to school, and Livingston, where you guys grew up.
Yeah. Nope, we've both been exposed to Church of Wells. We know them well.
Yeah, and so it's really fascinating. The amount of times I've said like, I don't know how this happened, but like listening to podcasts, it's really cool and definitely worth a listen if you haven't listened to it already.
Yeah,
that actually sounds really interesting.
Well, it's time to close the curtains, turn off the lights.
It's time to meet the Muppets on the Muppet Show tonight.
It's time to begin, isn't it?
Last one out. Turn off the lights, please. We're bringing this show to a close. Well, if you've enjoyed our podcast, feel free to reach out on Instagram, Facebook, or email us at startoftheplot@gmail.com. And if you've got a few minutes, head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. It is a great way you can help support the show, helps other people discover the podcast on the iTunes library, and we have a Patreon. That's not a lie. That's the
please
truth.
Subscribe to our Patreon. We're not all about the money, but we're like, we are really about the money, so
we're not all about the money yet.
if you couldn't tell by my voice, I was doing the ooh-woo hands. So if that makes you subscribe to our Patreon any sooner so I never have to do that again, that's a success in my book.
Hey, did y'all just get the email that said our subscriber count dropped to zero for some reason?
Yeah, that was that. No,
I get that.
Yeah, that was weird.
It's understandable.
Anyway, if you are in a financially stable place, and
what's that feel like?
What's that?
Yeah, first of all,
tell me how it is.
If you're in a stable enough place financially to be able to support the show, feel free to head on over there to Patreon. We've got some stickers, we got some cool shirts, we got some merch. And thank you so much. Thank you so much, 11 Acorn Lane. We love you for the use of our theme song, Stay, Electric Swing Remix. They're a great band, great people. That's it. I'm done. That's enough mouth words for today. No more.
All right, boys. And now, to leave you with a bad taste in your mouth, I present a review. This one is from a reviewer named Armalite. This is from a movie that was released in 2014. And they gave it half a star.
Okay.
They said, "This is definitely me when I smoke meth."
The Revenant.
The Revenant?
Gosh. Yes, The Revenant.
I'm going to go Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier and The Revenant. Guys, I'm so sorry to tell you that you are both incorrect. They were great guesses, though. This is actually from one of my top five favorite movies of the decade. It is The Babadook.
Oh, Lord.
My name is Brady King.
I'm Derek Foltz.
I'm Colton Hart.
And I'm Tyler.
And if you see Sandra Bullock, give her a hug.
And a gold nugget that you found in the hills of California.
There's gold in them there hills.
It's Prospector Brady again. Y'all got any segments?
Oh, God, no. Kill him.
Pause the recording. Pause it.